Let's read from God's Word. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, and we're going to read the opening verses of this chapter. Paul's been talking about our sinfulness in chapter 5, how as children of Adam we're all sinners, and what God has done about this in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in chapter 6, in verse 1, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. The life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." It's amazing how many people seem to think that being a Christian, being saved, is a bit like paying a life membership in an organization, maybe the National Trust or something like that. You pay your dues, you've got your membership, and you forget about it then. It's there, it's always there. You don't have to think about it any further. Something you do once, and that's an end of the matter. Great relief. You don't have to remember, you don't have to have a standing order, you don't have to have anything recurring. Pay once, pay your dues, get whatever it is you're looking for, and then you can simply go on and forget about it. In the minds of a lot of people, Christianity seems to be like that. You once commit yourself, you do whatever it is, you need to be saved, and then you can just go on with life. And you've bought your covers, like life insurance. You've paid for it, that's it, and you just get on with life the way it otherwise was. Christianity for them is just something you did once, and that's the end of the matter, really. How different the Bible's description of Christianity is from that. Oh yes, last month we thought about how in Christ we've got a new start. We thought about how we're new creations when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're transformed. But you see, that's only the beginning. That's only the start of a whole Christian life. In front of us lies a life, not a day, not a moment when you made a decision and that's the end of the matter, but it's a whole life that we're committed to. The Bible never thinks about Christianity as just something you do in a moment and then you're all right for the rest of your life and you can pretty well forget about it and live whatever way you want to. That's not how the Bible thinks of the Christian life. That's not how the Bible thinks about salvation. The point where you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's essential, is the beginning, but it's only the beginning. And so we want to think today about a new life. A new life. Not just a new moment, but a new life. I want to think about words we find in the passage we read earlier in Romans 6, and particularly it's verse 4 of Romans 6. It says, "We were therefore buried with him," that's with Christ, "through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. A new life. Two things really that that verse talks about, two that are absolutely essential for us to understand what it means to be a Christian, to be saved. We think first of all of being joined to Jesus in his death. Joined to Jesus in his death. Paul, in this verse, describes the beginning of a Christian life in what maybe seems to us quite a strange way, quite odd at first. The language of being united with Jesus in his death. What is Paul talking about there? What does he mean by it? United to Jesus in his death. An experience he depicts as being like baptism. Baptism that's a washing, particularly a washing of sins. Joined to Jesus at the beginning of the Christian life. The outward baptism with water is just a picture of what happens in somebody's heart when they're saved, what happens inside them spiritually. And Paul says it's being joined to Jesus in his death. What's the point of that description? Well, Paul tells us that to be a true Christian is to be joined spiritually to the Lord Jesus Christ in his death on the cross. Not that we died on the cross ourselves. Of course we didn't. It's 2,000 years since Jesus died on the cross. We weren't there. We weren't nailed to the cross. And yet, Paul says, spiritually. In terms of what happens inside us, it's as if we were on the cross with Jesus when he died there. The person who's put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ receives the benefits of Jesus' death. That's what it means to be joined to Jesus in his death. That what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished when he died on the cross becomes ours. We receive the benefits of what Jesus did in our place. We're not nailed to a cross, Jesus was. But what he's accomplished becomes ours. It becomes our possession. The benefits belong to us, just as if we had actually died with Jesus 2,000 years ago. So what are the benefits that we receive from the Lord Jesus? What does it mean to be joined to Jesus in his death? Well, we need to understand what was the purpose of Jesus' death. Why was he nailed to the cross? It wasn't just a sad accident, one of those tragedies that you wish hadn't happened. Plenty of those in life, aren't there? And things you think, how sad, I wish that had never happened. But Jesus' death on the cross was God's plan. It's not a sad tragedy that should have been avoided. It's the very plan and purpose of God. That's why Jesus came into the world. It was to die that death on the cross. And he came, the Bible tells us, because of sin, our sin, my sin. That's why Jesus came into the world and lived and died on the cross. It's because of our sin, because of our disobedience, because of our breaking God's law. And Jesus died on the cross to take the guilt and the punishment of everyone who'll believe in him. It's all loaded on the Lord Jesus Christ as he died on the cross. He has taken sin and its punishment, its guilt, all of that. And as a result, a new start is possible for us. That's what we thought about last month. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Our sins are forgiven. We have a new start. We're new people. And it's because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when a sinner like you or like I trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are joined to him in his death as if we died with him. And oh, the benefits and the blessings that Jesus has secured, they belong to us. They're all given to us freely. That's what happens when you're saved. Not only are your sins forgiven, but you have all the blessings that Jesus secured when he died on the cross. We receive salvation in all its fullness, and it is full, and it is rich, and it's wonderful. And that's what you receive when you're joined to Christ in his death. Salvation in all its fullness. Jesus took the place of sinners like us when he died on the cross. People like us who deserve to die for our sins, who deserved eternal punishment because of our breaking God's law, our living for ourselves, our going our own way. And he took our place. And he took everything that is due to us for our sins. That's how much God loves sinners like us. That the Son of God would do that for us. Didn't have to. And he loved us. And he gave himself for us. And so when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're joined to him in his death. You receive all the blessings, all the benefits that Jesus secured when he died there on the cross 2,000 years ago. It's there for everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the new start that you receive when you trust in Christ. That's the beginning of the Christian life. Joined to Jesus in his death. But of course, that is only the start. And we need to think, secondly, of joined to Jesus in his life. Joined to Jesus in his life. Because Paul stresses here, and the whole New Testament stresses, Jesus did not remain in the tomb when he died. He was buried. He certainly was, but he didn't stay there. He didn't remain under the power of death. When we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not talking about somebody who's dead and gone. We're talking about someone who's alive right now as we meet here in this church building. Because he didn't remain under the power of death. When Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, he told people clearly it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. It is unthinkable that Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect Son of God, would be held by death. He couldn't be. He burst the power of the tomb. He's risen in glory. He's alive. He's reigning. That's the Jesus we're talking about today. Not a pile of dust in a grave in Israel somewhere. Somebody who's alive, who is in heaven, who is reigning over the universe. That's the Jesus that Paul's writing about. That's the Jesus we believe in. That's the Jesus we want to tell you about. One who's alive and who's defeated death just as he's defeated sin. The Jesus that we are joined to isn't a dead Jesus any longer. He's a living Jesus. He's a living Savior. He accomplished what he came to do when he died on the cross. He provided salvation. And so now, victorious over sin, over death, he has risen in glory. He's ascended into heaven. He's sitting on the throne of the universe. And indeed, he'll come back again one day, and we'll see him. What a great Savior. Paul writes about it here. He speaks about Jesus, who was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. God the Father raised him from the tomb, and he's alive. He's a living Savior. And if we're joined to Jesus in his death, we're also joined to Jesus in his life. There's a whole life for the Christian to live once we are saved. After that first point where we're committed to the Lord, when we receive the gift of salvation, there's a whole life stretched ahead of us to be lived. implications for us that Jesus is risen. It's an order that, Paul says, we may live a new life. Or literally what Paul says is an order that we may walk in newness of life. I prefer that translation, really. Walk in newness of life. That's what it means for us to be joined to Jesus in his life. We will walk in newness of life. Jesus was raised to a new life, a life of glory. We are raised to a new spiritual life as Christians. We walk in newness of life. We're joined to him in his resurrection, Paul says. It's a marvelous picture in verse 5. We share in the results of Jesus' death. We receive all that he accomplished there, and we also receive all the benefits of Jesus' resurrection and his triumph. They're ours. They belong to us when we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk in newness of life. Life. That's what we have as Christians. We have life. Not just the moment of conversion, but a whole life. When a baby's born into the world, what do they often say? Oh, he's his whole life ahead of him. Well, for a Christian, that's true. When we're born again, when we come to Christ, we have our whole life ahead of us. We don't know if it'll be long, don't know if it'll be short, but a whole life to be lived. A different life. A changed life. Born again, as Jesus says in John 3, and then newness of life. You see, when people think of Christianity, when they think of Christians, they maybe don't often think about people who are really alive. A lot of people think of Christianity as something that just sucks the joy out of life, and anything really that you really want out of life. And if you're a Christian, well, you can't do this, and you can't go there, and you can't. That's not life, is it? Who wants that? And yet that isn't what Christianity is like. It is life. It's life as God made us to live it. It's life according to the Maker's instructions. The Christian life really is life. Jesus tells us in John 10 and verse 10, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. So sad sometimes when Christians give the impression that they don't have a life that people would much want, that isn't life to the full. It is. God made us for this life, and in Christ, when we're joined to him in his life, we are able to live as God has made us to live. This is what we are here for. And until you're joined to Christ in his life, you're never going to live life as it was meant to be lived. You might live for yourself, you might live for passing pleasures, but you're not living the life God made you for. That's always going to be frustrating and disappointing. We were made for this life. United to Jesus and his resurrection life, now we truly have life. Not life emptied of joy. Not life sucked dry of pleasure. But life in its fullness, with joy, with satisfaction. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ gives us, because he gives us life in relationship to God. And that's what we were made for. And we'll never find joy or satisfaction or meaning outside of that. Until you have this wonderful relationship of love with God, you'll never really know what it is to be alive. You think you do, but you don't. life in its fullness, and we walk in newness of life. Don't be deceived. If you should think, well, to be a Christian, it'll be a life without any joy, any satisfaction, any meaning. It'll be dull. It will be totally undesirable. You're deceiving yourself. It's life without Jesus that is empty and meaningless. We sang about it there in Psalm 1. The comparison the psalmist uses is the person who doesn't belong to the Lord, the person who isn't living for God, is like the husks of grain that are so light a breeze will just blow them away. And that's what life is like without the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just empty and light and purposeless. And one day it'll end, and it'll amount to nothing. You'll look back and you'll think, was that it? Was that it? Nothing. It's in Jesus we have life in its fullness. It's rich. It's beautiful. It's delightful. Life. And you have it in Jesus if you're joined to him in his life. We walk in newness of life. Do you notice that? It's new. It's different. Different from the life we used to live. Now, the break may be radical for some who are converted suddenly. The break may not be so very noticeable. Maybe if you grew up in a Christian home where you grew up with an awareness of Christian things from you were young. You might not even be able to put a time on when you came to Christ. Many of us can't. And yet, if you belong to Christ, there's a difference from any life lived without him. And for some, it is very radical and very clear. Newness of life. What's new about it? Well, it's life that's lived for the glory of God. That's the real key to this newness of life. It's lived for the glory of God. Not to please ourselves, but to please God. And to honour him. That's what we want to do above everything else in this new life. We want to honour God. We want to please him. We want to glorify him. So the whole shape of your life will be moulded by that commitment to God, that relationship to God. Everything's different. You'll have new interests and new activities. Worship above all. That really delights the heart of the Christian, to worship God. When you weren't joined to Christ, you didn't find any delight in worship, something you couldn't be bothered doing. So there are new activities, and even the things we do that are just the same as everybody else, in work, in sports, and all our different activities, they're the same as people who don't belong to Christ often. And yet there is a difference. Because we do them for God's glory. In our work, in our families, in all our activities, it's God's glory that matters. And that's the newness of the life we have when we're joined to Jesus. The most ordinary things we do, the most routine, mundane things we do them for the glory of God. Newness of life. And God has not left us to wonder how we should live this life. He's given us guidance. He loves us. He wants us to know how to walk in newness of life. We don't have to sit and puzzle and think, what could it possibly mean to live as a Christian in my workplace, in my family, in my relationships? He tells us. He loves us so much, he's given us his guidebook in the Bible. If we want to walk in newness of life, we will walk according to what this book tells us. Not simply to keep rules. There are times when you think, well, I just keep this rule because I have to. We don't keep God's word simply because we have to. We keep it because we love the God who gave it. We love the God who talks to us here in this book. And if we want to know how to live for his glory, if we want to live in a way that pleases God, then we want to keep what he commands us in this book. Jesus tells us in John 14, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me. We don't live by the Bible with our teeth gritted, resenting it, because we have to, but we don't really want to. We live according to the Bible because we love the God who's here and who talks to us and guides us, and he gives us warnings about danger. He gives us direction in the way we should be living. He gives us examples to follow. He gives us encouragement. You know, all the things that a good parent will do for their children. God does, multiplied 1,000-fold here in this book. He loves us. He tells us how we should be living. And if we love him, we want to keep his commandments. It's not a burden. It's a delight for the Christian to live by the Bible. It's our Father's word. And he loves us. He loves us more than we can say. And because we love him, we keep his commandments. We walk in newness of life. Everything is different when you're a Christian. Even the most ordinary things, because we do them for the Lord. The most routine things, we do them for the Lord. The most apparently insignificant things, we do them for the Lord. It's all new. If you're joined to Christ and his life, you're walking in newness of life. And you're walking. You're walking. That's why I think it's a pity there in the NIV, it just says we live a new life. That's true, but we're walking. It's a picture Paul uses, a word picture. We're walking. And if you're walking, you're going somewhere, aren't you? We're not just walking around in wee circles. But you're going somewhere. You're on a journey. And that's the picture Paul uses of the Christian joined to Jesus in his life. We're going somewhere. We're walking. We're traveling. We're going forward. We're to make progress, as the Bible tells us. We grow spiritually. We grow to be more like Jesus. We should be able to look back over the years and see ways in which we've grown to be more like Jesus. Not as much as we would like. Not as much as we should have done, certainly. But we've grown. We've made progress. We have been walking in newness of life. We're going somewhere. Where are we going? We're going to glory. We're going to the place where we will be completely like the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be no sin, there'll be no temptation, there'll be no failure, there'll be nothing. And one day we will reach that place. Paul says in another of his letters, 2 Corinthians 3, we're being transformed into his likeness. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that encouraging? If you are joined to Jesus in his life, you're being transformed into his likeness more and more, step by step, as you walk in newness of life. And one day, the work will be finished. Isn't that an encouraging prospect? One day you'll arrive at your destination. And you will be fully and perfectly like the Lord Jesus. We can look forward to that day. We long for it as Christians. When we sin and we fall in this life, it grieves us. And we can't be satisfied with that. That encourages us to keep walking with the Lord, with his help and his strength and his grace. And he will bring us home. He'll bring us home. We can be sure of that. If you're joined to Jesus in his life, one day he'll bring you home and you'll be with him forever. And there'll be no sin left. There'll be no failure. There'll not even be temptation. He'll bring you home. If we walk in newness of life, the Lord will bring us home. I wonder, are you walking in newness of life? Have you started walking? Have you been joined to Jesus in his death? You've begun the Christian life trusting in him as your Savior. Do you know what it is to have your sins forgiven, to have a new start? Are you walking in newness of life? Not just looking back, I was saved 5 years ago, 10 years, 40 years. Are you walking with him today in newness of life? Life as you were made to live it. Life that's lived for God's glory, that's new, and that's joyful, and that's satisfying. It's there for anybody who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's there for any sinner, any one of us, who comes to him. Joined to Jesus in his death. Joined to Jesus in his life. Walking in newness of life. May every one of us here today be walking in newness of life. Joined to Jesus. Died with him to the old life. Raised with him to a new life. All lived for God's glory.